give him a hand this evening. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I come to praise the Lord. How about you?
Amen.
I believe you have. I can tell just from hearing your voices and the spirit of the Lord inside this building. Because you know what? It don't matter how many people's in a building. Because you know what? There's many times that presence of the Lord, it's just me. And I praise him. I praise him. I've looked over one time. I was at a stoplight. Somebody looked at me like I was a lunatic. Like, you know what? I'd rather be a fool for Jesus. You know what? Because you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of me, and I'm not going to be ashamed of him. And I'll praise him. You know, I thank the Lord. And I know you guys feel the same way. With our musicians, he'd be sitting. If you'd like to, you sure don't have to, brother. We'll just stand up here and tag team it. I tell you what, I do love the Lord. I want to tell every one of you, I love you. Those that are at home or streaming, I love you too. God bless you. I trust that you've all been persevering and soaring with the eagles, because you know that's what we are. We know we don't soar like eagles, we soar because we are eagles, right? Amen. I want to speak to y'all on a thought this evening of the necessity of growth. The necessity of growth. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And we'll read this in the name of the Lord. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. I'm going to go one more scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together in your name. And Lord, I just yield myself to you and ask you that you would just come, Lord. That, Lord, you would flow through this building. Lord, though I can speak words, Lord, that are just shells, Father. But it's the life that's inside the shell, Father. I ask you that there would be life speaking into their hearts tonight, Lord. That would stir their faith. Lord, that they could see more deeply and remember who they are, Lord, who you've called us to be. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I do count it a privilege to be with you. I want to speak to you on the necessity of growth. And in order for there to be life, there is a necessity of growth. And whether it be a botany life, animal life, relationships, your Christian life, life is manifested in growth. And when a woman becomes pregnant, she is not immediately in full bloom ready to deliver. You know, instantaneously, well, praise God, we're going to have a baby. But you know, it's a process that takes place, as we all know. Right. It starts as a small seed on the inside of her, and there are manifestations on the outside of her body demonstrating that there is life on the inside of her. Her complexion will begin to change. You know, I've actually looked at women before, and I thought to myself, she's pregnant. I don't know what it is about it, but to me, it's been many, many times, not saying I'm a prophet, anything like that, but there's many, many times I've looked at a woman, I thought to myself, that girl's pregnant. There's just a glow about her. But you know, her complexion will begin to change, and eventually her diet will change. And then her body will begin to change. And it is the life that's on the inside of her that's making the change. It's the life and the seed that's expressing the growth that's happening from the inside out. Let's go to St. Luke chapter 1, verses 35 through 44. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence this is to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Elizabeth was without deeply concerned because this baby was not moving. As we were speaking about a mother that becomes pregnant, for myself, I've seen the complexion. As I've said, their diets will begin to change and there will begin to be outward manifestations. But this was a woman that was old in age, but yet she had a baby on the inside, but there was no life. And you know, if you take a woman that's got a baby on the inside, if there's no life, if there's no growth, there's something wrong. And this was a woman that was having this, and her mind was not thinking, my, I wonder if Mary can come here and give me a message that this baby will loop in the womb. It was nothing that she had any control of. It was something that God was doing. This was a woman, Mary, who was not thinking to herself, my, I wish an angel would come speak to me and tell me that I want to give birth to the Messiah. It never happened that way. What it was, an angel come looking for her. Ain't that wonderful how an angel come looking for man? You know, that's the way it is. It's never man goes looking for God. It's God that comes looking for man. And here was a woman, Mary, that was struggling through this darkest age, to the darkest world that there's ever been. But in the midst of that, an angel saw fit to come to her and said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Word. And you know, she heard this salutation. There was another woman by the name of Elizabeth that had the baby on the inside that was not moving, but she was struggling without a doubt. She run rebellions like, where's the life at? Where's the movement at? I don't understand. Right. Could you imagine how discouraging that would be? She's an old woman known as being barren. Right. She had the testimony. This is a woman that doesn't have life. But she all of a sudden she has this movement. She has a baby on the inside. But then he stops moving. You feel nothing. But she heard a salutation of an angel, and it caused something on the inside of her to leap. Amen. Brother and sister, I believe that this was a very wonderful thing that took place. It was a God thing, as we would say.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I love God things.
Amen.
When you say, you know, that was cool, that was awesome, then you're, that's a God thing. Well, amen. This was a God thing. You know?
Right.
She heard the salutation of an angel, and it was an angel that come looking for her. It was never you that went looking for God.
Right.
It was God that come looking for you, and she just heard the salutation of it, brother and sister, and there was something on the inside of it that caught that. And I want you to really catch this. Elizabeth was not pumping up her mind to make something happen. There's so many times people try to pump up the Holy Ghost. You do not have to do that.
Right.
All you've got to do is yield to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost will come down whenever you're doing music. Don't try to pump something up. Do just like you did tonight, sister, Brother Tony.
Right.
Whenever you're doing that, you're not trying to pump up some kind of rock and roll or some kind of this upbeat something.
That's right.
You are doing a steady beat and allowing the Holy Spirit to come down. And when that Holy Spirit comes down, as I've said, you know, it doesn't discourage me to only have a few people here tonight. Because you know what? There's many, many times it's just me.
Right.
And it's just as good as if there was 500.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Sometimes it's better. You know, you get 500, you get a lot of unbelievers in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, not only that, you know what I'm saying? It's true. You know, the more people you have, the more disbelief you have. Because, you know, you can have someone come with a stinky attitude. You come in, people will have to fight in the service to overcome your stinky attitude so they can get their blessing. You know, when you come to church, come on fire for God. You know, when I sing, praise God. You know, I may sound terrible, but you know what? I'm doing it with all my heart.
Amen.
And when I get on that other side, you know, you that can sing really eloquently and you don't put your whole heart in it, you'll be held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I believe we should do everything that we do heartily is to the Lord, not for man. Mm-hmm. Amen. This was a surprise visit to her, and this was something. The same thing with Mary. Mary was not pumping herself up to this. She was a younger sister, a young sister living in the darkest age of all time. And unexpectedly, the angel come to her and give her a message. And what we're speaking on tonight is the necessity of growth. And how it's so important to capitalize on how that one can plant, one can water. But brother and sister, it takes God to give the increase. And I had a message I wanted to bring last Wednesday, and it just worked out. We didn't have the service, and I told Brother Tony, I tried to go against with that service, and it just would not happen. And he said, yep, I know what you're talking about, Brother Daniel. It's kind of like having yesterday's meal, and it was good yesterday, but it ain't good today.
Right.
But I felt the Lord really lead me so strong on this. I really want you to catch the message of what I feel the Lord's trying to tell me. Listen to me, people that are home, pay attention to this service.
Amen.
It is so necessary. We have a necessity of growth. Because if you are not growing in the Lord, listen to me, if you are not growing in the Lord, you are dying. If you are not, if your relationship and your marriage, if you are not growing closer to one another, loving one another more as the years go by, listen to me, your relationship is dying. If your relationship with your children, if it's not growing and you're becoming a more, you understand why dad does certain things. Or as a parent, I understand why my child does this. If you are not doing that, your relationship is dying. In order for it to grow, you must work with it. Just like in nature, God gives us nature, you work according to the laws of nature and it works. Brother Graham talked so many times about the well and using gravity and how, you know, if you use gravity and use the right things, if you can transfer water from one place to another, and, you know, and you can use the law of nature of using, you know, a tomato plant, and if you put it in a shade tree, it's not going to bear much fruit, but if you put it in the presence of the light, it'll bear fruit. There's things you can do in the natural.
That's right.
And it types the same thing in the spiritual. And there's so many things, brother and sister, that I see happening that you can tell that people are trying to serve God with something in their intellects.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. And I'm going to try to just really just slow down and really plow through this. It's the same thing as if you're having a relationship and you're saying, I should love this girl with my mind. I should love this boy with my mind. And because I'm supposed to love this girl with my mind, this is how I'm supposed to act. And you can do that for a little while. A sister says, I'm supposed to love this boy like this, so this is how I'm going to act. And you can go through all the motions.
Right.
You can go through an absolute dynamic checklist of saying, my goodness, look at this couple, because they're doing it exactly according to the checklist. If there's ever a couple, if there's ever somebody that's a strong relationship, it's that one right there. And the whole time, they're just doing it with their intellects. But I'm here to tell you, if there's a love on the inside of you that just stirs, and you cannot make yourself love somebody.
Right.
No more than you can make yourself not love them. Whenever I fell in love with my wife, you know, before that I could try to serve her with my mind and my intellect and say, this is how I should conduct myself to be a good husband. In my mind, I could try to do it. But brother and sister, what kind of life is that? But you know what? Because with that, you will only catch this. If you are only doing that with your intellects, you will be an eye pleaser. That means you will only do it when people are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
But when the doors are closed, you pull out the real you.
Yeah.
Listen to me, brother and sister. Real love really expresses itself when the doors are closed.
Yeah.
Real love is really expressed when the doors are closed. You know, whenever you can, people can jump up and shout during service and praise God. My goodness, I wish I could be them. But listen to me, it's when the doors are closed.
Right.
It's whenever there's something inside you that just compels you, you just got to get up and talk to the Lord.
Amen.
It's something inside you on your daily walk, when you're doing the laundry, when you're cooking the biscuits or whatever you're doing, if you're mowing the yard. In my case, many times I'd be selling a car.
Right.
You may be loading lumber. But all of a sudden, there's a presence that just drops down, and you recognize that presence. How do you recognize that presence? Because my sheep know my voice.
Right.
You know what? Your shepherd has been talking to you your whole life. And if you'll look down your life, you will see all the times it was God speaking to you.
That's right.
There were times when you were a child on the playground. And something would be said in a certain manner, or you may see a tree move a certain way, you may see a flower, you may see a bird, but you don't know how to explain it. You weren't thinking about God, you were thinking about running on and jumping on the swing or running on the playground or doing what you're going to do, but out of that somewhere, you saw a bird, you saw a tree, or you heard somebody say something. You heard some kind of a communication. And when you saw it or you heard it, it sparked something on the inside of it. And there was something on the inside of you said, I believe that. I believe that there's a God. It was something that's always been in your life. You have always been a son or daughter of God. And it was God, your great shepherd, all down through the ages, even on a playground. God was speaking to you. God could speak to a cafeteria lady. God could speak to a janitor. God could speak to somebody at a store. What was it? It was God speaking to you all the time, and you had no idea what was happening, but what it was, God had life inside you, and he was causing that life to grow. And God has a provided way of how he can bring that life to a full maturity, brother and sister. And God does that through the preaching of the word.
Amen.
The greatest, listen to me, the greatest thing that we have in this life is to be able to believe.
Mm-hmm.
To believe the word.
Amen.
To believe that your spouse loves you.
Amen.
To believe that your parents love you.
Mm-hmm.
To believe that your pastor loves you.
Amen.
To believe that your brother and sister love you. The devil will fight to get you to stop believing. Because you know what? Whenever you look at that woman, whenever you're doing your vows, Elijah and Rachel, if you're listening to this, you, I'm sure you are, when you looked at one another, and that girl, I'm here to tell you, she was in love. My goodness gracious. I'll never forget it. Brother Tony's standing right behind him, and she's standing there, and every few minutes, he'd go, how many of them I'm talking about? Amen. What was making her do that? Love. There was a love inside her when she saw that man. She said, I love him.
Amen.
And you look at Elijah. He's standing right there in that bull crying and trying to hold him back. There was something inside him. Listen to me. That was not trying to marry. Brother Tony was not marrying intellects.
That's right.
Brother Tony was recognizing a love that was already taking place. It had already taken place. They love one another. It was a consummation of their love. And you know what? The bride of Jesus Christ, it's because we already love him.
Right.
It's an expression of something that is already there. I love him.
Amen.
I love him so much. He saved me. He cleansed me. When I feel so low and beat down and dirty and I feel like I'm worthless, he picks me up every single time. It dusts me up and reminds me of who I am.
Amen.
And he said, I've already paid for it. You can never disappoint me. Listen to me. My children can disappoint me because they can do something I never thought they would do. But you can never disappoint God.
Amen.
God knows every mistake you'll ever make in this life. And God has provided a way to bring you right back to the fold.
Amen.
And it's always through love. I'm telling you what, brother and sister, how in the world would somebody want to live a life without a Christian, without being a Christian? How in the world could they want to do it? It's just like me and my wife. How in the world would somebody say, I don't ever want to get married? Are you crazy? She has the ability to draw out of me characteristics that I could never put out by myself. It takes her to do it. And I can draw out the characteristics out of her that could never come out of her without me. I make her complete. She makes me complete. And God has characteristics on the inside of him that he can never express without me.
Amen.
Without you.
Amen.
I make him complete.
Amen.
And he makes me complete.
Amen.
He
something that could never be there without God. Amen. He pulled it out of the seed. God is pulling the life out of the seed out of me. And I'm pulling the life out of the seed of God. Amen. Ain't that beautiful? Amen. It's a love, brother and sister. It's a dynamics on the inside. I don't care about faith to move mountains. I want faith that I can make him happy. Amen. I want the faith in my heart that I can please God in everything that I do.
Amen.
Whether it be walking by and I see a piece of trash on the ground, I want to say, Lord, they're polluting your... God, forgive them. Lord, may you help me be mindful of the small things.
Amen.
Where I'm so mindful of just a whisper from God. If it is a whisper, as David said, oh, that I can have some water of Bethlehem. If I can just have just a little bit. Oh, my goodness. And these men respected David so much that they fought miles to get the drink of water for him.
Amen.
I want my service for my Lord to be just like that, brother and sister. If it's a whisper from the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I want to please you in all things.
Amen.
I want to please you with my kids. I want to be a good daddy.
Amen.
Not just a good daddy of the world standard. I want to be a good daddy of the word standard.
Right.
I want to be the one, an example to whenever I am laying in my casket, if God don't take me in the rapture before, I want my test, catch what I'm saying. This is so important, brother and sister. I want it to be that if God takes me before the rapture, may it be that the testimony people will say about me is Daniel Black was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Black had the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him make mistakes, and you know what he did? He made it right. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be Daniel never made a mistake. I want him to see the mistake. Daniel made mistakes. And he said, God, forgive me. Because I showed them a way back. You know what? When you fall on your face and you make it right, you're showing the pattern. You're showing this is the way back.
Amen.
This is the way of a Christian. But you know what? We live in an unapologetic age where people don't want to say, you know what? I was wrong. And listen to me, the greatest thing we could ever say many times, the greatest milestone you could have many times, is whenever that devil, that man or that woman will be anointed by a devil to pick you and poke you and prod you and try to get you to act in a certain way. And whenever you speak out in tone, like I didn't, and you know, I'm not talking about saying profanity or something like that. Listen to what I'm saying. The devil, that there will be opportunities for pressure to get you to express in a character that you don't normally express. And after you do it, you say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. You feel, well, at that moment, whenever you go back and say, you know, I'm sorry. I did not mean, I'm not from here. From here.
Mm-hmm.
When you are grieved in your heart, say, I did not mean to do that.
Right.
I did not mean to say that.
Amen.
I didn't mean, and I don't, I'm not talking about profanity. I think we're above that.
Right.
And if you aren't, then we'll be pressing. But if you're human and you're flesh, there will be moments in your life where you will just mess up. You're going to fall and you're flat in your face and you messed up.
Yeah.
The greatest testimony you can ever do at that point right there is you say, you know what? I messed up.
Right.
Stop making excuses. Stop trying to blame it on somebody else. They're the reason I make mistakes. Stop pointing fingers and point at yourself.
Yeah.
And say, I'm the reason I'm in the condition I'm in. I'm the reason, because you know what? I'm the man of my house. Supposed to be.
Right.
I'm the leader in her home. Supposed to be. And listen to me, brothers, if you're not stepping up to that plate, you're obligated to apologize to your family. So you know what? I've not been the man that God called me to be, but I want to be. But it don't stop right there. That's whenever you have got to start taking the necessary steps and start being a man. And stop being a little boy.
That's right.
And sister, step up and be a woman.
Amen.
Stop being a little girl.
Amen.
We live in an age where they want to be an adult. But when things get hard, oh, they're a child. I need help during this time. But once you're past the hard time after you've taken care of them and you've provided all their needs and you've done everything for them, then all of a sudden I'm an adult. Come on, somebody. If you're going to be an adult, be an adult. Be a man. As I said here a while back, I listened to a message the other day. Brother Brenham Sanchez said, I didn't know it, but he did. I was about have faith with a faith with a head by having hair on your chest, so to speak. Be a man in the gospel. And I made a joke, Sister Lisa, be a man. She said, I don't be no man. I think she knew I was just teasing. I'm talking about being a man in your faith. Stop being a little boy and rise up to the plate. Stop looking at your wounds. Stop. I mentioned this to some brothers the night we were fellowship. Talking about a video that they saw, and it was an animal vehicle, and he was tying it to a sermon. And I said, you know what? I got one I'll tell you about too. So don't get me wrong, there's many times whenever we need someone to come by and pick us up. Yeah. There will be times that I'll need you to come pick me up. Mm-hmm. There will be times. But this video I saw one time, it was a little water buffalo that was laying in the ground, lions all around. He was injured. And that water buffalo looked at him and run up and hit him with his horn. He backed up. He wouldn't get up. You know what he did? Scratched the ground and he run harder. He run up and hit him with the horn again. And somebody could look at that and say, what a cruel cannibal of a beast. This water buffalo is injured and laying on the ground, and this other water buffalo is hitting him with his horn. What a cruel beast. You know what he did? He came back there and he said, you don't want to get up? Okay. He scratched that around and he gave everything that he had. He run and hit that thing so hard, knocked him halfway across the road. He rolled over and jumped up and started moving around. And he started wagging his tail and going with the rest of the herd. Sometimes you need a swift kick in the hind end. He says, you know what? Stop feeling sorry for yourself and be a man.
Amen.
Stop being a little child and be a soldier. Amen. You know, we're on a battlefield. Listen to me. We're on a battlefield. The bombs are not going to stop.
That's right.
The bullets are not going to stop. You're not going to be on an Eden in this area. Now, in your experience with God in your alone time, sure. But listen to me, these bombs are going to keep happening, so you may as well man up and say, you know what, let's step up to the plate and let's take our mountain.
Amen.
God gave me the promise, God said, it's yours, but you've got to get up and go take it.
Amen.
You've got to get up and say, you know what, I want my victory, I want my peace, I want my healing.
Amen.
I am sick and tired of letting that devil take what's mine, it's mine, and I want it. If you will just stand up and be bold, and you know what? People are doubting God. You're afraid that he won't answer your prayer. Stop doubting. He said, it's yours. Go get it.
Amen.
Amen. I want my children.
Amen.
I want them full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if you've got to squeeze them, squeeze them. And you know what? Lord, listen to me.
Yep.
I've said, Lord, forgive me for the times whenever you're trying to address their life and I stand in the way. There's many times when they needed their hind end whipped and I turned my back and I took the beating on my back. And I am doing my children a disservice when I do that. You know what? There's many times we'll pray, God, get a hold of my children. Get a hold of this brother. Get a hold of this sister. And then all of a sudden trials will start happening. What do? We flock and we say, you know what? Hit me instead, Lord. And we try to take the beating for them and we are doing them a disservice. Brother Branham said many times, you know, somebody come on a person, he said, I have to pray, Lord help me, because what if God put that on them, and then I go and take it off, talking about sicknesses that take place.
Right.
Brother and sister, whenever we see our children going through a struggle, we do not want to see our children go through something.
Right.
But many times, those floodgates of trials is God allowing those things to happen, because he's got to get them to their knees. You know what? The greatest thing that we can ever get to is on our knees.
Amen.
Whenever, you know, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At some point, brother and sister, I want to do it right now.
Amen.
Not out of obligation, not out of fear, but because I love him.
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
He is so good to me. I'm going to share just a little brief testimony with you. Whenever I was at those brothers and sisters, or that brother's ministers meeting, and I heard Brother Tim Burrett ministering, and I saw all these other fine brothers ministering. Such an anointing, such a power, such a powerful service where it was a blessing of beyond blessing. I'm going to show you how the devil worked. That devil come to me that Saturday night, or through the middle of Saturday night, going up in the morning, and Sunday morning. That devil was flocking my mind so hard. And said, you know what? These guys, these brothers, they've got the real anointing. They've got the real power. It's absolutely awesome. And you know what? Your little ministry will mean nothing. You've just been fooling yourself. All these years, how many times have you been trying to express this gift that you say that God put in your life? How many times have you been trying to express and people don't open their doors to you? How many times have you tried to do this? And you know what? Whenever you're going through this, how many times have you tried? How many times have you heard people say a gift will make room for itself? How many times have you heard these things? And how many times have you laid in the middle of the night in the presence of God and said, oh God, speak to me that I can be a true and that maybe I can serve you, not out of obligation, but something out of my heart pulling me. And that pressure was coming on my mind and saying, you know what, you may as well stay home and just listen to the home service, just stream their service and just get on that plane. And that devil is flocking, flocking, flocking. Listen to me, the devil will do that to a minister. How much will he do it for a lay member in the church? Pounding my mind, and I'll never forget the exact moment where I was sitting, brother and sister. I was sitting on the edge of my bed. I was facing the window with the air conditioner in front of me, and that same presence of the Lord has always given me dropped right down into that room, just as real and fragrant as he always has, probably even more so. And all I could do was weep in his presence. And the Lord spoke to me and said, many people have tried to shut you up. He said, but don't you let them shut you up. You preach my gospel. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, praise God, praise God. And I said, you know what? I'm late already now. There's no way I'm going to get a good seat. Well, I said, I'll get in my vehicle and I'll go to the service. And right in the dead front of Brother Tim Pruitt, I got the perfect view where my knees were almost hitting the pulpit. God provided. God knew what I had needed. Listen, I'm saying these things to show you, brother and sister, if God will try to discourage a minister, how much will he try to discourage you?
Amen.
And you know, I've never preached to a phone before, but we're doing it tonight.
Amen.
And you know it's the truth. Amen. That devil will try to discourage you.
Yes.
But you've got to rise up during those times, brother and sister. I know there's times when you need someone to pick you. That's true. There will be. But listen to me, there's sometimes you just got to man up and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of walking this circle.
Amen.
I want to start going up.
Amen.
Because if you are not going up, you will walk in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Brennan talked about the dead man's walk.
That's right.
You will come back to the same spot you were 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that same walk.
Amen.
Ending up at the same place. But you have to say, you know what? Am I a Christian or am I not? Is God God or is he not? And I'm going to tell you, he is.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, you are one of God's.
Yes.
You are. Listen to what I'm saying. You are one of God's.
Amen.
The devil will fight your mind to make you think that you're not and doubt who you are. But listen to me. You've got to have growth, brother and sister. You have got to grow in the Lord, and you're not going to do that when you keep compromising with the Word and allowing other things to get in front of you.
Right.
You've got to humble yourself before God and say, God, I've got to have your presence.
Mm-hmm.
I want the love for you, Lord. Help
Amen.
Me love you more.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.
That's right.
Brother Branham talked about the story. I'm not going to quote it. I'm just going to tell you about it. Brother Bram talked about two farmers. He said one farmer was a very industrious man. He had big farm, big barns, gold doorknobs, real nice fences, lots of land. But he was lazy. In his heart, he was lazy for the things that were necessary. But there was another man over here, had an old rundown barn, didn't have a fancy tractor, but he had a heart to work for his sheep, work for his cattle. He said, "And come harvest time, the man that had the big tractor, the big barn, all he had was a bunch of weeds. And so when he belled up all of his weeds, he put them in the barn." He said, "But the man that really worked for God, he said, 'I want to serve you, God. I want to serve your people the best I can.' He got a lot of alfalfa. He put that alfalfa inside of his barn. Well, they fed them through the winter. One farmer fed his cows the weeds. The other farmer fed his cows the alfalfa. When it comes springtime, we began to open the barns and let them things out. That big old fat cow, calf walked out there from feeding off that alfalfa. He was big and round. He was just jumping around, and that wind blow on him and caused his tail to move. And he said, 'Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.' He'd walk around again, a big old fat belly just moving around. And here come another wind. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You know what wind I'm talking about. Here come this other calf, been eating all the weeds. And he gets out, and he's skinny, and his bones are sticking out. And he can hear some stomping on the ground. Hear some, what in the world's going to be? All kinds of noise. You can imagine what kind of noise is that. Imagine what I'd look like if I was a fat cow. I'm about as fat as one. And you hear I was saying. But he was hollering. He was shouting. He was kicking his cow. He was moving his tail. And every time the wind would blow, he'd have, praise God, praise God. I don't care how I sound. Can you feel this wind? Can you feel what I'm feeling? Can you see what I'm seeing?" And this skinny little calf said, "I'm hearing all this bellowing, all this hollering." And he feels the exact same wind. He has the exact same sun. And he looks through the fence. He said, "What is all that bellowing about?" He walks over and peeks his eyeball through it. And he sees this calf that's all fat and sassy and having just a good old time. He says, "You know what? That ain't nothing but a bunch of fanaticism. There ain't nothing to that. Because you know what? I am in the same place. I don't feel a thing. You know what the difference is, brother and sister? Yeah. That calf's been eating, and he's growing. This calf is not eating. And because he's not eating, he's grumpy, he's grimy, and all he wants to do is complain. And he'll say, 'You know what? There ain't nothing to that, brother. All that shouting, all that screaming, all that jumping, all that nonsense, that ain't nothing but a bunch of fanaticism. We're beyond that. Let's walk like me. I don't want to look like you. You're skinny. Only fat.'" Right. You say amen in the gospel. We want to be, you know what? Listen to me, brother and sister. Whenever you're eating this word, whenever you are growing in this word and you feel that Holy Spirit come down, it causes something on the inside of you to get excited.
Amen.
And listen to me. If you're not feeling that excitement anymore, you are not feeding yourself.
Amen.
You are not being fed. We need to eat food. Do spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
Right.
We need to eat the word for this hour.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But Tony, if you don't mind, come on forward. Because if you don't, I'm fixing to start preaching a whole other part of this. And it's after 8 o'clock. It's so important that we eat fed. Because listen to me, if you are not feeding, if you are not eating, listen to me, you are not growing.
Amen.
But whenever you eat and you walk in that presence, that wind will come down and you can't help but beller out.
Amen.
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 Let's all bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I love you. I love these people. And you know from the integrity of my heart, Lord, 95% of what was spoken tonight is not even on my notes. I didn't even write anything down on any of it. It was as your inspiration was coming during this service, Lord, of speaking. But Lord, I know your spirit, I know your voice, and I know when I'm plowing in the right way. And Lord God, I believe the things that I spoke tonight to be the truth. I ask you, Father, you would walk the aisle, that you would go to the homes, Lord.
Lord, that you touch the fathers, the mothers, the children, Lord. Oh, God, that you would help the ministry here, Lord. Father, we want to be able to provide the right food, Lord. Lord God, that they're growing in your word, Lord. Lord, I know how I feel on my daily walk with you, Lord, feeling your spirit coming down in such a revival. Lord, in the night hours, Lord, you call me up just to talk to me, Lord. I want them to have the same thing, Lord. Lord, I know one can plant, one can water, but God, it takes you to give the increase, Lord. Lord, I want the increase of my children, Lord. Lord, increase in my relationships. Increase in my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Father, I ask you, Lord, you'd search our heart tonight, Lord. Oh, God, would you come? Lord, is that consuming fire, Father? And Lord, if there be anything in our hearts, Lord. Lord, that would call. And Lord, if there's something inside of us that wants anything of the world, Lord. Oh, God, burn it out, Father. I ask you, Lord, that your love would move, Lord, into each heart and just burn and boil, Father, inside of them, Father. God, I ask you to touch the marriages, the relationships, Lord. Lord, all these problems so many people have, but if they would just come to you, you can fix it all, Lord. Just as sure the doctor can put a bone in place, it takes you to heal it, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you, the great healer, our great champion, Lord. I ask you, would you come tonight? Lord, you'd go to the homes, Lord. You'd go to every heart, Lord. And help us, Lord, see, Lord, that you are here. You are with your word, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. The necessity for spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. For the necessity for growth. Amen. You know, we are our keeper of our own vineyards. Mm-hmm. You have to keep your own vineyard. And you know, I've said the other day, you know, we as Christians, real Christian, you are constantly, all day, every day, checking up and asking yourself, am I being pleasing to the Lord? Am I doing what's right? And you know, over the time, you should know. Over the years, you should know whether or not you're growing or not. Mm-hmm. You may, you know, in the outward, we're getting older, we're getting weaker, you know, but inside, in your spiritual walk, you should be able to analyze yourself, and you know whether or not you have grown in the Lord any.
Amen.
Over the years.
Amen.
And you should be able to look at things, and you should be able to say, you know, there was a time when I struggled with this, mm-hmm. that I don't struggle with no more.
That's right.
You should be able to see that,
yes, sir.
In your life. You should be able to look back and say, you know what? I used to have a problem with this, but God delivered me of that.
Yes.
And you can look back on that and see the reason why that God delivered you from that is because you went to him with it and you were persistent and you laid it before him. And it might have taken you years, but eventually you became an overcomer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before, but well, I'll pray, and I don't say, Lord, just take this from me, but I say it, make me an overcomer.
Amen.
To this issue or this situation or whatever.
Amen.
And you should, right now, as a Christian, like I said, you should be analyzing yourself every day.
Mm-hmm.
You should know right now what it is you're struggling with right now. It should
Amen.
Be an agenda. It should be a bullet point on your page in front of you every day, and that should be before, you should be putting that before the Lord and seeking him to overcome that. And whatever it is. And so whether it's a scripture or whether it's the way you respond when somebody responds to you wrong or how you treat someone or whatever it might be. Because we look at ourselves and we want to please him. We want to live in a way where we represent him.
Yeah.
And the only way you get there is by you, your personal walk. I mean, the word comes, you've got it in the Bible, you've got it in the sermons, you get it here from Brother Branham. We can tune into who knows whatever. It's there. But the only way it happens is where we as an individual take this word and put it to work in our lives and accept it and embrace it. And not, like Brother Daniel said, not from here, but from here. That's what we have to do. And so, because we are the keepers of our own vineyards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the little foxes spoil the vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Brother Daniel said, we're beyond, we don't curse. Right? We're not doing stuff like that. But brother, sister, I know there are little foxes.
Yes.
That we all have to deal with.
Yes, sir.
And they spoil the vine. They do just a couple of little foxes can do just as much damage as one big one.
Amen.
Right? But the thing of it is, it's subtle. Oh, it's just a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and then one day you wake up and go, what happened?
Yeah.
Right? And you know what? I'll say this. Probably all along you knew it anyway. You knew what was happening.
Right.
You were just lying to yourself. See?
Yes.
It's a wartime.
Yes.
I think I mentioned this the other day. I've said it. People get, you know, mad because the devil hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in a war.
Sure.
Nobody likes, but, you know, oh, the devil hit me. I'm going to quit. No, that's why he hit you, is because who you are.
That's right.
Right? And so, like the scripture was coming to mind when he's preaching, you know, quit you like men.
Yes.
Right? Act like a man.
Yes.
And rise up and take your land.
Amen.
Right? Think about it. The scriptures are there to show you what Joshua and Caleb did, you know. And Caleb's 80 years old, whatever it was, like, give me my land. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Those things are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Brother Daniel said tonight is correct. God expects us to be men and women in the gospel, not little boys and girls, but real men and women in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you. You know, scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And faith is a revelation. It's built upon faith in what? The Word. I hear people say, have faith in me. I can't have faith in you. I can have faith in God's Word.
Right.
You know, but it's faith in His Word.
Yeah.
And a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And faith which worketh by love.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so you're not pleasing God if you're not taking His Word and you don't believe it. And brother, sister, we need to believe from the heart.
Yes,
sir.
Right? Believe from the heart. And it makes all the difference in the world. You know, I've thought of many times, you know, and we talk about how we love our wives and our spouses and so forth. And when you really love your mate, you're not going to do something against them.
Right.
Right? Brother Branham talked about that.
Sure.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hurt that relationship. You don't want to hurt that best friend that you've got.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know what? We need a revelation of that toward God.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? To where we can say, you know what, I'm not letting the devil trip me up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love my Lord and
Amen.
I want to represent Him and I want to please Him.
Amen.
And that's and until we take that up and being number one agenda in our life, we are fighting this battle. We're gonna fight this for the Lord, to represent Him and to please Him. And until we do that sincerely from the heart, and that becomes number one thing on our agenda, then we'll just walk this circle.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over. And that's where we are. That's where the whole world is, right? Everybody. And so but we've got a message.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, the world doesn't have anything to draw from. They're doing what they are because but the bride has something to draw from.
That's right.
And we don't have to be like them.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so really appreciate the words that Brother Daniel shared tonight. And I know it's kind of strange. You're like, man, last week, I had a burning message, you know, and then you think, well, I'll just use it next week, and it don't work. That's like I told you, you fix some food last Wednesday, probably don't want to eat it today, even if it has been in the refrigerator, you know. So why? Because it's a living word.
Yes.
It's a living word, a living God. With, you know, I'm not going to say to my wife the same thing. I'm not going to repeat today what we talked about last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I did that ever, you know,
sure.
It's a living,
yes,
conversation, living. Yeah. Experience, you know, and so, amen. I just, not to try and preach, but he said tag team. So it's the truth. But we do. This world's falling apart, but we have a message.
Amen.
The message.
Amen.
Amen. That is everything that we need.
Amen.
Amen. But it's got to become more than just on pages of the book and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to become that life, a life of Holy Ghost living in you, living out this word.
Amen.
Amen. So we believe. Amen. It's so good to be part of a group. group of believers, you know, where we could be a lot of places.
Yeah.
And so let's go to Psalm 271, just the family of God. We'll sing a couple of chorus of that. I'm brave enough to try and sing the verses yet, because I haven't practiced it. But I mean, he's glad that he's part of the family of God.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined as the Jesus as we travel this time, for I'm a part of the family, the family. So glad.